Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John tries to be the cool teacher and thinks I take way too much Tylenol. Meanwhile, I ponder the old superglue commercial with the construction worker and telltales out of school, whatever that means. Plus a conversation about the Beatitudes and what it really means to be a person of meekness. Today's episode is not sponsored by Bubble Tea. Now your favorite drink is also a choking hazard. But first, a word from our actual sponsor.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
John, eat your weekly dose. Pull up a chair. Put the alcohol prep pad on your arm. Let's talk about that. What's a dose?
What's going on? But do you put a, is that a dose when you inject?
You can have a shot that's a dose.
Oh, I guess you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It totally holds.
I wonder if dose comes from the Spanish for two. Like, take two. It's a dose. You always think two aspirin is a dose of aspirin. Is that because of dose?
This is a real stretch. There's no way that's what it is.
You don't think?
No. Really? I will bet you $250 it's not that.
This is one I think we have to look up. Hold on. Why? That's not a stretch. You think it's...
God, if you end up being right,
you can make this look like it was borderline racist just to suggest it. I'm like, no, it's
say anything about that. I just thought it was
dose origin.
Well, you don't need to know the etymology.
It's from the French, from it means give, so it's from via Latin from Greek dosis, gift, from didonai, which is give. So
anything you want to recant? Do you want to?
I'm going to keep looking until I find one that supports my.
And this is what's wrong with America today.
But don't you think it's interesting that dose is two, and usually a dose of something is two things?
I don't think a dose is two things. I think that you're playing off of like tropes of like take two of these and call me in the morning.
What's a trope? Three things. No, that's. What's the origin of trope? We could be here all day.
All day, guys. Well, and we will be.
No, but it is interesting. Like. I take four Tylenol, and I feel like it's too many.
Okay.
Because you're supposed to take two Tylenol. That's a dose. I take two doses.
Johnny, that really will hurt your liver.
That's four. I'm not taking four every 5 minutes.
It's you like never take four Tylenol.
When I get a headache, I just want to knock it out.
Hear me.
I ain't got time for this.
You take four ibuprofen, you take two Tylenol.
No.
Like, you can actually overdose on Tylenol.
Well, not from four.
Yeah, like, it's a real thing. Like, you could hurt your liver.
So if a dose is two, four is an overdose. That's what you're
that
saying. It's a double dose.
Do you read the bottle at all?
Yeah. But I'm assuming it's going on weight. I'm like, I'm 200 pounds plus.
Oh my gosh.
Let's calculate that in.
My wife's head's exploding right now.
You know what's good for that?
Four Tylenol. I remember we had some kid. I'm not going to say who, but
I don't always take four. Sometimes I take three.
They were doing that on a trip. They're like, "Man, I'm not feeling good." And they were like, "I took like six aspirin." And they were just like, "We're like, I won't say who it was, but it's like, stop doing that,
right?
Like, the doses matter. Like, these are actual.
Cut their finger. I can't stop bleeding.
I don't know what the deal is.
I can't coagulate.
That would have been something.
It'd be interesting if a kid was to verbalize that.
Yeah,
I can't seem to coagulate.
That'll be great. Yeah.
My dog so my brother brought his dog over and we stayed with us, and they brought their dogs. Well, they have a younger dog that's crazy, which I like normally having younger dogs in the house with my old dogs because it kind of peps them up. Their little energy in the house. It's like having young It's like when you brought Oliver onto the Brady Bunch to like revitalize the show. Remember Cousin Oliver? It's like that. It's like, okay, let's see if we can save this show.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing to my old dogs. That's Cousin Oliver. And what's funny is his name really is Ollie. So
wow.
He's a Labradoodle and he is insane. Like, I like the dog. I love, you know, me. I love
like
dogs.
Like clinically insane.
I love dogs more than people, generally.
That tracks.
So it's not like I'm like, I've got something out for this dog, but this dog is a little bit spastic. He jumped through a window at my brother's house.
Oh, like a closed window.
Yeah, like through the glass. And my brother gets a call. He's on the road with me, and my brother gets a call from his wife, and she goes, there's glass everywhere. I got to take Ollie to the emergency vet. There's glass, whatever. He's bleeding. She's freaking out.
What did he see out there?
He just spazzes out and throws himself into walls, and he happened to throw himself into a window, and he just broke the window. He didn't go out into the yard or anything, but he broke the window out.
Seems like an episode of the A-Team or something.
Exactly.
Like there was someone in the yard.
So all that said, he's a little bit like mercurial, hard to predict what he's going to do. He can be fun, but he can also just like jump up like a deer in the Tommy Boy scene and just like tear the roof off of your car and then just dance in the road. You don't know what's going to happen with him. He's a little bit wiry. So we're watching the dogs and stuff while they go on a date night. We got them concert tickets, I think.
The dogs on a date night?
The dogs on a date. Yeah.
You gotta monitor them.
We're into animal husbandry now. We're really, it's a new side hustle for me.
What did they order? Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No, so they had spaghetti, one single spaghetti strand that they shared. You've seen it.
I have.
No, so they're out, and I'm like, all right, we got this. And then while they're gone, chaos ensues, and my dogs are playing in the yard. And it's one of those things where the dogs try to bite each other playfully.
Uh-huh.
And Toby, you know, is having his ear bit, my dog, and he pulls his head away.
Oh.
And dogs have like an artery that ends in their ear.
Yeah.
And so if a dog starts to bleed from its ear, it just won't stop. It just will not stop. It's just, he comes into the house and he's shaking and it's shaking blood. He's pouring blood out of his head. And I'm like, and I have to like tell my brother, like, bro, it's not your fault. Your dog's crazy, but my dog's crazy. It could have been my dog that bit your dog. Like it happens.
Sure.
It just happens to be that your dog's an insane serial killer. No. But I didn't know what to do. So literally Curry goes, I know what to do. They sell this stuff. She goes to the farmer's co-op. They sell this like powder that you can put on your dog, and it's a coagulant.
Huh.
I don't know what it is. It's probably just cornstarch or something, and it just makes the blood dry up.
Does cornstarch make?
I don't know. It's what it looked like. It looked like we were just sprinkling magic white powder.
Like medical.
It was cocaine. It was cocaine. I'm not gonna lie. He was wired after that.
He felt terrific. I figured you were gonna.
He wrote a novel. He was so productive. No, but it was weird. So I didn't know that was a thing. But if you ever have a dog that won't stop bleeding, or you won't stop bleeding, go to the farmer's co-op. There's some magic powder, evidently.
Yeah, or just go to the doctor if it's you.
You know, they super glue wounds now.
I was about to say, I thought that's what you're going to get.
Well, we didn't have any handy.
And you know, it's just regular super glue.
Right.
But they call it medical super
glue. It's probably like $2,500 more when they bill you for it. Medical super glue.
Yeah.
It's the same ad with the guy hanging from the construction helmet, but he's in a smock. He's in like a lab coat. It's medical super glue.
I was
going
to say he was in like the robe and the back's open, you know, or whatever. That'd be the funny way to do it.
That's medical super glue. Yeah. That's great. Remember that ad? That's like one of the most... Here's how successful that ad was. We still remember the imagery of it.
Yeah.
40 years later.
Yeah.
This is how good this glue is. We put this guy in a construction helmet, which, by the way, he's having to hold on to the sides.
Yeah, how?
That's really more of a testament to his upper body strength.
Trying to hang from a helmet with your head up.
So if you don't remember the ad, they've glued his helmet to a girder, a metal girder, you know, 100 feet in the air. Or it looks like it. Maybe it's Photoshopped.
Yeah.
And he's just hanging with the super glue, a drop of super glue. I can't remember if it was like a video ad that they then made a print ad from.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like I remember seeing them put the drop of glue on the helmet. But anyway, all that said, he's just hanging there. There's not a chin strap.
No.
This guy, poor man.
It's upper body strength because he's having to hold himself up. But I also
it's more of
like
a workout video.
Yeah.
Show me what he's doing.
And I want to know what scenario.
Uh-huh.
Could you imagine, like, look, if you're ever hanging by your helmet on the bottom of one of these metal beams,
right,
you're going to be just fine. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that's never a scenario.
It's rare. I fell. Hand me the glue. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no time. But, yeah. I mean, I appreciate what they did.
You come unhooked from your safety harness, but they're like, wait, I know what will get us out of this jam. Anyway, we're learning so much today. Coagulants.
I feel that it's been very educational so
super
far.
Super glue.
Yeah.
But yeah, they
Dose.
Yeah, we learned what that wasn't.
Yeah. Well, I knew what it wasn't.
It's just one of those things that, like, if I'm going on, that's what you'd call an educated guess, because you know what I mean. Like, it's a good hypothesis that dose would be two. Okay.
It's so rare that you give what I consider to be poor hypotheses.
Yeah.
And it makes me happy. Like, I want to hang out here as long as you're willing. Some call that shaming people, but yeah. I just call it good, clean fun.
What part of you thought you might be wrong, though? Like, was there 10%?
There was a part. It goes back to that Trivial Pursuit day.
Yeah.
And if y'all have heard the story, the old episodes, but
oh, right.
Johnny and I played Trivial Pursuit, like an epic game, 101, for like 5 hours.
Right.
And we both were in the middle with all the pie pieces, and we could pick one question for each other. It was like an epic. I mean, it really was.
Yeah. You pick the hardest question on the card to ask the person, yeah. and they have to answer that to win the game.
So it's down to, like, next question wins everything.
Yeah.
And we had so much. And I know Johnny knows nothing about foreign languages. That's just the one thing. You just didn't take foreign languages.
Right.
And so, yeah, there was a French word. I picked that question because I knew you never would get it. And if you're a new listener, I can just tell you, I mean, I was like, what is the...
French word for dry?
French word for dry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Johnny
and
thought,
I took like 10 seconds. You go, you just were smirking.
You don't know it.
And for some reason, I remember, like, the only, I don't know why, I just remember thinking about a cologne ad for Brut cologne. And I was like, I wonder if Brut means dry because it's a deodorant.
And then you thought of.
Brut makes deodorant. I wonder if it means dry.
And you thought of champagne too, you said, right?
Maybe, yeah, because you see Brut on a champagne bottle. And I don't drink, but I just remember seeing
there's it. There's a dry, yeah. So, yeah, Johnny's... I just remember your mouth beginning to form the word. And, like, it was like slow-mo for me. Uh-huh. It was like I'm watching the impossible happen.
It's like in the Christmas Story when he says fudge.
Yes.
But he didn't say fudge.
It was exactly... I was like, no, how did you... I was so mad.
Yeah. So you thought this might be just like that.
We could
and
have
it
that.
Wasn't. Instead, it's some Greek, Latin, weird,
right.
you know, thing.
I was figuring it was that. Yeah. So, and it was important that I was right about this. You know what else is important, Johnny?
What's that?
Our sponsors.
They are.
And all that they have to offer us. Maybe we should take a moment and listen.
Let's do it.
I mean, Johnny, sometimes the segues are just perfect.
Yep.
Sometimes... That you couldn't have done.
They write
better.
Themselves.
This would have been one of those times. So,
don't you wish things wrote themselves? Do you ever feel like a book writes itself? Do you ever feel like?
Well, yeah, I use AI.
This
now.
Book, I was just a conduit. Do you ever say it? Don't say that. Don't ever say that.
I don't say.
It's really annoying thing to say.
Yeah.
I just get up there and I just feel like
the Christianese thing to say.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because I have a really good Presbyterian friend.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day I was telling him something and I used the word vessel and he goes, you ex-Pentecostals love to use the word vessel.
Yeah.
Like vessel comes out all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, that's true. So sometimes I don't hear conduit, but I've heard vessel. Like I'm just a vessel. And I,
right.
Vessel's not a bad thing.
Right.
But it is like, he was like, in Presbyterian world, we don't ever say vessel.
Yeah.
It was such an interesting like.
Even about blood. We don't even
we
talk
don't.
About, we say we veins, don't. We say arteries, and we get out of
we
there.
We won't do it. Capillaries.
Corpuscles.
Oh my goodness.
Corpuscles are things.
I don't know what that is.
Now I gotta look more things up. Jeez, John, I don't like this. This show's already on my nerves today.
Guys, last week, by the way, as Johnny looked something up again superfluously for no reason, last week, we literally recorded an episode that we had to scrap, and I'm not sure that's ever happened. Like, it was...
It's an unattached cell, especially the kind that floats freely, such as a blood or lymph fill, so it's a blood cell.
What in
corpuscles
your,
are blood cells.
What in your brute mind caused...
I don't know.
...that to come to... Like, I just want to know. Like... Inside your head.
You have a master's degree. You don't know what a corpuscle
I'm
is?
Not, I don't have... Like, your stuff, it's like floating and can be captured at any
you know,
moment.
You know
mine
what,
has to be dug out of a
know,
filing cabinet.
You know what else floats free?
What's that?
Corpuscles. A blood or lymph cell.
My wife knew what it was, no doubt.
Yeah, she's already been shouting, like, of course he's right.
I have knowledge.
Okay, what were you going to say, though? You
but
said last week we recorded an episode.
Well, and this is going to drive the listeners crazy.
I know. Then we could. Oh, I still have it. I have the video of it. Do we save the audio?
No.
Oh, you.
I got rid of it.
You trashed it.
I trashed it.
We could have cut up part of it that wasn't awful.
Maybe.
Well, there John told a story. John told tales outside of school. I wonder where that came from. You know, when you're telling tales outside of school, are you not supposed to tell tales outside of school?
That's weird. Do you? I thought you're supposed to be quiet in school.
Is it like? But I wonder what it means. Like HIPAA. Like what happens in school stays in school. You're not supposed to tell what happens there.
That's weird.
That's a little bit.
Yeah, you should.
That's
tell.
Like abusive.
Yeah,
that's a toxic environment.
We don't want that kind of school.
If your teacher ever says, "Whatever you do, don't tell the tales outside of school,"
like, yeah,
that's not a good teacher.
Run. Get on your phone and text your parents, because now you can do
that. We're going to have class outside again today.
Wait a second.
I don't like your... I meant to ask you this last week, because we talked about that, and I forgot to ask you, were you that kind of teacher? Did you ever have class outside? Were you the cool teacher? Do you think you were the cool teacher?
I think I was.
Yeah. Do you think your students would say it?
I think they did. But I was
everybody
young.
Everybody remembers their favorite teacher.
Yeah.
Do you think you were that...
I don't know. I mean, I've had kids over the... I mean,
you taught history, so that's like a great subject.
Taught history in seventh grade math, too. And for example, my dad actually passed this down. I gave a test in math every day on a Scantron. And I was like, look, you're going to get 1,000 grades.
What do you mean Scantron, like circle the circles?
Yeah, like a bubble sheet.
Oh, no.
Because the concept is this. Here's what we do to kids.
Yeah.
We make them take tests... In all year,
yeah,
and quizzes and all stuff, and it's never in the format that they're going to be most evaluated.
That makes sense.
And so,
they get terrified of the Scantron.
Yeah, my dad's theory was we're actually not preparing them. Why would you test them differently than what you've been teaching
them? So rather than just getting rid of the Scantron, he's like, I'm going to make you love the Scantron.
But here's what's great about loving the Scantron.
Yeah,
is my grading? I just popped it in the machine and it graded.
Oh, right.
And so, like, I made systems.
You were the original algorithm
that worked for me.
Yeah,
and I was like, look. You'll make 100 on this if you just get one more right than you got yesterday. That's all you had to do.
It'd be cool if you made the dots spell out something. So that's how you could look at it and be like, okay. Yours doesn't spell cat.
L-O-L or whatever, yeah. And then for history, though, I would teach from the computer screen.
Yeah.
You had some kid always advancing the slide. And so, you know, but when it came time for review, I'm a believer that the kids should – I know this is going to – probably cause a great controversy among the listenership, and I apologize for this.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that we don't teach to tests a little bit, to me, I don't understand how we can... And I get it, because they want analysis, and they want like another step for them to reason through, and I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure having it in a testing moment is the moment that is the only way we can evaluate further analysis. Why don't you find other ways in class to help them think further on other things, but you take the most important thing they're going to do that's weighted the heaviest and ask them to do something they haven't done in your class yet.
Right.
By asking them a question you never let them see. It just feels like bait and switch to me.
So you want to put them in that mode in another way, like, let's say, cage fighting. What do you want to bring out of the student? You want to be like, hey, you, go fight that kid.
Look, the deal is, and not that history's all facts or anything,
but
like, okay, I wanted them to know, If the unit's talking about federalism, I want them to be able to tell me on paper what the definitions of federalism are.
Right.
And then I want them to be able to discuss what happened with it. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, like, why in the world we can't say, the kids would know. Here's what I do. I'd play tape ball. I had this big ball of tape.
I remember you telling me about tape ball.
On review day, they basically get a review sheet that's going to be really close to the test.
Yeah.
And I don't know, no problems with that.
Like, do you throw it to them? That's how you, it's like the conch,
so
right?
What you would do is, I had a cabin. So the teacher before me, there was a little wood cabin in my room in the back, like a porch.
What?
Yeah. He had built a cabin back there because it was history. So it was like a little porch front. I'd sit back there.
Sounds very folksy.
We'd have teams.
In a rocking chair.
And the next person would get the question. I ask the question.
Yeah.
The team can help them answer the question.
Yeah.
So if they get the answer right, then you get to come back. Well, you get to pick. There was like a piece of tape, like where you wanted to shoot from into the trash can. So you can stand here for 1 point, here for two. And so someone's keeping score. And so it's become strategy.
Okay.
Or, now if you got really desperate, or you could have me shoot for you from the back of the room for double points.
Which you like that because so I got to throw the tape ball
all day that way.
Yeah.
And so if they get to the end and they're down by like 30, and if I did it backwards, it would be quadruple points. Any of you could turn backwards and double whatever you're doing.
Okay.
So say you need to make up a huge thing and there's a 15-point shot, then I could do it for 30 or turn backwards and try to do it for 60.
So it's just how you review the answers that are going to be on the test.
You could turn the whole game in one failed swoop. So the kids would get into that, you know, and then I got to play with them. So that was always fun. So I think they enjoyed that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, they all knew the answers usually. I mean, that was the point. Why do you not want kids to know answers anymore? I don't know. I don't get it. It's, Sadie will come home like,
yeah, you want to stump them.
I read the whole chapter. I studied everything. I did all of it. And they gave me, they asked a question that's unrelated that I've never seen before. And I didn't know the answer because no one had ever taught me that answer. And I'm like, they just wanted you to, I guess, self-discover something you hadn't been taught. And there's a place for that. I'm just not sure it has to be on the most important weighted part of your test. So sorry, teachers out there. I'm not opposed to analysis or synthesis or any of the things that come along with us having a forward thinking past just basic regurgitation of facts. I just think where we're doing it is wrong. It should not be in that highly weighted test. Bring it out other ways.
We got to change the system.
I think I just...
Why aren't you school board
president? I think
I
just created myself a platform for something.
John.
I'm going to run for it. Listen. I don't want to talk about school board stuff
around here.
Okay. I can't.
Okay, so we got off track. So John told a story, and it was like a 20-minute story.
It was a big story.
And then he thought better of telling the story.
Well, the story...
It involved other people.
...continued to unfold while we're recording the podcast.
Which made John go catatonic.
He really did. We were at the end
we're doing talk This about Week then. In History. We're doing Talk About Then. And John's not giving me anything.
Because an email came.
He's staring at the screen and looking at me and then staring. And I go,
I'm like grunting.
I'm just like,
yeah.
So he finally, we just go, well, we'll see you next week. And I go,
what
are you doing? He goes, you're not going to believe the email I just got. And it had to do with the story he had been telling.
Right.
And it was a scathing email.
Yeah, I got lit up.
And so I'm like, and then I texted you later. I was like, we can't use any of that.
No.
It was the worst episode we've ever done.
Well, I couldn't use any of it anyway because
right.
I now felt that it was not appropriate to share publicly.
This is another one of those things where it's the mystery of it is way worse than what it was.
Yeah.
Like, what did John do to get a scathing email?
It was... I did tell the story to you guys in the community group last night.
Yeah.
And...
The fourth time I've heard the story.
But
I could tell the story now.
But the others...
I tell the story on stage, it will have happened to me.
When the others heard it, they were like,
yeah,
this was worth staying for. Like, this is a crazy story. And so, guys, maybe we should do like a thing for just the patrons on this one. I don't know.
I think so. Or just like give them kind of the Cliff's Notes version of it without, you know, maybe change the name.
Johnny likes to take people down.
I've been challenged on that by some of my fellow believer friends who, because I've said that before, like, not name and shame, but I say, like, if people wanted to be treated better in my stories, they should have behaved better.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a time to be like, well, this is what happened. I'm just telling the truth of what happened. But there is a time where you go, all right, you were bullied, and now you have a bully pulpit of a podcast. Are you trying to bully them back?
Right.
And I don't want to fall into that. So I think there is a line. But, like, I'm telling a story about, like, our first record producer taking advantage of us. Like, you don't even want to say his name. And I'm like... Well, I mean, that was just a business transaction. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, that guy's not, to me, that's not the same thing as, like, I'm going to get even with the person that whatever. I'm not trying to get even. I'm just telling the facts of the story.
But it doesn't really change the story naming his name. It doesn't add anything to it.
Maybe.
Except the possibility of him hearing it someday and being upset.
I don't know. Maybe he would like, go like, man.
These guys
are those people.
I have seen the error
Maybe
of my
I'll
ways.
Get a scathing email.
You know when Johnny made fun of me on that podcast?
Yeah.
That really turned things around for me.
Maybe I'm walking in unforgiveness. I don't want to be. I don't know. To me, details are part of what makes stories pop on stage.
Yeah.
Like, I have stories about gym class, and I have stories about health class now. And I went to school with some of these people, and so I tell a story about a guy named Chad, who raised his hand one day in health class and asked, where are my ovaries? Because they were doing the pointer on the... and it's
that.
A whole joke I do. That's real. That guy's name was Chad. And Mr. Trawick was our health teacher. And then so my friends who went to school with me are like, what do you think Mr. Trawick thinks of this? And I go, well, I don't paint him to be a bad guy.
Right.
It's just the story makes more sense to me. It's more colorful if you don't just go, anyway, my health teacher, Sure. No, it's my health teacher, Mr. Trawick. Mr. Trawick's a funny name.
Couldn't
to me.
You make up a different name?
No.
Mr. Doswick?
But I don't understand why naming him is bad in that instance, because it's not like I'm saying, and this jerk,
sure,
he's not a jerk in the story. Even in my gym teacher, Mr. Bledsoe, who made me run suicides because he thought it would cure my asthma. Like, it's not like I'm saying, like, a lot of people had that same gym teacher.
Sure.
So it's not like I'm saying, I have an extraordinarily bad gym teacher. Let's all go get him. It's not that at all. It's just Mr. Bledsoe, another funny name to me. So if I just made him Mr. Watson, yeah, it's not funny to me.
Maybe you should learn
it's
how
not
to
real.
Maybe you should learn how to write funny names.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think those names are already there, and I'm just picking them off the tree.
Yeah.
I'm taking advantage of the names that are already there.
Well, you could just, look up a list of names, but you don't have to write it. All I'm saying is, Johnny, we don't want to do harm to innocent people on this podcast. No, I get it. I don't know if that's unforgiveness on some of the stuff we've been mistreated on.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So are you, you're not here Sunday?
No.
Of course.
I'm in California.
Well, of course you are, because I'm speaking.
John.
You intentionally book these things around
it's
my speaking
true.
Schedule. But we're talking about the Beatitudes.
Yeah.
And I'll be doing Blessed Are the Meek.
Why are they called the Beatitudes? Because Jesus doesn't call them the Beatitudes, right?
No. I think Beatitude is almost like a beautify.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it has like it's a word.
If you're going to be something, be the Beatitudes. It's the attitude to be.
It's a beat, like it's something that's beautified or elevated.
The best vitamin
blessed
for a Christian, John.
Is B1.
Yeah.
What did I see there?
Is B1 a vitamin?
Yeah, I think there's a vitamin. There's a B2.
Okay.
But that would make sense on their
B2
sign.
Is the best bingo for the best bingo play for a Christian
sign
is
broke.
B2. Yeah.
Sign broke, message inside. Which is the irony of that is I'm reading it off a sign.
Yeah.
So apparently it's not broke. Anyway, let's not get into marquees.
Okay.
But blessed are the meek.
Right.
Which, what do you think meek means?
Is that what you're talking about this week?
Yeah.
The meekness?
Yeah.
What does meekness mean? I think generationally, we're kind of entering an era where meekness is kind of like, it's almost looked down on. It means passive, super passive. To me, when I think about a meek person, I think about like power, but it's like under control. It's kind of laid down, you know? So it's, because if you have the power to do harm, but you don't, or if you have the power to lord over somebody, but you don't, you're showing meekness to that person. Maybe,
yeah.
You know,
that's close. I mean, yeah, it's,
I definitely don't see it the way it's like, oh, this is a beta male. He's one of these,
right.
Meek, like A. Whitney Brown on Saturday Night Live. One of my favorite writers. He used to do these columns. He used to do like little spots on Weekend Update. And he did this one that I remember from being, I was 11 years old. I remember him saying like, we know that the meek will inherit the earth, but we can just push them down and take it back. What are they going to do? They're a bunch of meeks. And I remember thinking that was so funny because I knew that scripture. I mean, from being a kid, you always hear it. It was just funny watching somebody like spin on that, even though, I mean, I guess it was basically sacrilegious, but it was just like an interesting take on. But now we really do believe that sort of in culture.
Yeah.
Hey, the meek will inherit the earth, but, you know, we'll just push them down and take it back.
Yep.
Like, that's what you think of a meek person.
Well, and again, you think of it as weakness or you think of it as being pushover. And, of course, the whole, if you read Dallas Willard's take on the attitudes, it's, these are not a list of things for you to go try to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he had just done a bunch of miracles in Matthew 4, and now he invites, they all follow up a mountain, and he sits down and talk to them. He's actually explaining the kingdom of God they just experienced with him. He's now explaining what it is and how to live in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really like not, go be poor in spirit so you can be blessed. Like, that's what we've done to it. Almost
right.
Like we found some way to make it
transactional.
Yeah, or make it to our advantage. Like, just, you know, if I could just get poor in spirit, then, you know. But he's basically saying you are poor in spirit. Like, you are the spiritually bankrupt. You've had nothing. You have no voice. Blessed are the meek, the ones who have, really, they stop trying to yell for themselves because they know their voice doesn't matter. They've kind of resigned themselves to whatever God's going to do.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
And they don't defend themselves in the same way that, you know, they don't, they see even when they're being mistreated that God's going to work all this out. So there's sort of
okay, yeah, that's interesting. Okay, yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that as a definition. That's interesting. Okay,
yeah, the Strong's Concordance gets deep into some of that. But he's like, look, you're already blessed because it's not like the kingdom of God is coming, but the kingdom of God is here is what at hand means because I'm here. So
right.
We're all here. You're
well. Wasn't Moses described as meek?
Yes.
And so, like, here's a guy who, like, marches in and says, let my people go. So it's not necessarily about, like, being afraid to stand up right. for something. It's like you're lending your power to people who are oppressed in some way, right? So
sure.
It's like, or you have, like, a breaking point, or you're going to stand up for the right thing.
Yep.
But you're not just going to just be some boisterous, shouty person.
I'd say the thing that makes the meek in those situations when they're strong, or they're responding strongly, is that they, in the end, though, truthfully believe that they cannot control this outcome.
Okay.
So it's either God shows up to do this, to get these people out of Egypt, or this is not going to happen.
Okay.
As opposed to a person who thinks, if I am active enough mm-hmm. along these lines, then I can truly affect change. I think the meek would say, you know what, I might not be able to affect a change, but I can still show up courageously, or I can shut up courageously. Sometimes it takes more courage.
There's your third point.
Come on now.
Show up courageously or shut up courageously.
I mean, both have a place.
I think you just... Did you add that to your notes? Because if it's not...
That's not...
You got to do it.
That would work, wouldn't
that's
it?
Great. I mean, when else are you going to be able to tell a church crowd to shut up?
Oh, courageously.
Courageously.
It does take courage to shut up sometimes.
That's good stuff. That's a book title.
Yeah. Show up and shut up.
Courageously.
By John Driver with Johnny.
The John Driver story. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I like it. What I love this, though, is that the meek also, they've stopped trying to conquer the earth.
Yeah.
And that they're going to inherit it from someone else.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. So instead of like, I'm taking over my little corner of the world.
Right.
It's like, I'm going to be in a relationship with Jesus, and then he'll decide what I inherit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a, yeah.
We're in the will.
Yep.
So you don't have to fight. You don't have to struggle. You're already in the will.
Yep.
Yeah.
If I get mistreated, I'm in the will. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a...
Yeah.
It's a hard one for a justice-centered, what we consider justice, a justice-centered society.
Yeah.
You know, which what that means for us is I get justice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Tennessee State Legislature, if you followed in this stuff this week, I mean, it's a complete cluster right now. They came back into session, and there's these families from the Covenant school shootings who are devastated, and they're there with little signs mm-hmm. asking for common sense gun reform, which even our pretty far right Republican governor is trying to enact some
right, right, right. Most of our constituency is in favor of it.
But these, a lot of the legislators are not. And so they decided to pass special rules for this meeting where you couldn't carry signs.
Yeah.
And they drug these moms out who had little signs. And then a judge struck it down the next day. Like, you can't.
Right.
Do that. But like, to them, these rules feel right because this is disrupting what it is we want this to be. And so that feels like justice when you've made the rules for yourself.
Yeah.
And to the others, it feels like injustice, you know. And then a judge comes in and says, actually, that's not a good rule.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I think what we really want is not to be mistreated. But I'm working on this meekness thing, though. Like, and that's the other thing. You don't seek meekness. Like, you don't seek that. You seek to follow Jesus, and meekness will find you.
Yeah.
Like, trust me. Follow Jesus, and man, you know, these moments where gentleness or humility, those kinds of things, you won't have to try to cultivate them in yourselves. That's his job. This is a spirit thing, you know. That's why meekness is one of the gifts of the fruits of the spirit, you know. So anyway.
Well, I think you need more work, but...
yeah, I'm working.
And now
it.
That I've heard most of the sermon, I don't need to be
here
Sunday.
You don't have to listen. There you go.
This is unbelievable.
Good thing it comes out Monday.
So it's all about it. Shut up courageously.
I need to write that down.
The John Driver story. It's beautiful. John, you know, we've talked about Moses. He's from the past. Let's go all the way back this week in history to a segment we call Talk About Then. Segway. John, this week, 1949... U.S. President Harry S. Truman signed what?
This week in 49, this would be the treaty to end World War II?
The North Atlantic Treaty, making it effective. The treaty formed the legal basis and is implemented
for
by
NATO.
The North Atlantic Treaty for NATO. Yeah.
Yeah.
the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which I didn't know this what NATO stood for.
Yeah, yeah. North Atlantic Treaty Organization. But I'm shocked that it was, I thought it was a little later than that. So that's early because the war in August of 45.
You wish that they had waited longer? You're saying it's a little early? You're
like, Truman. Okay, sorry.
He tends to jump the gun. The British attacked Washington, D.C. this week in 1814. John, yep. The Capitol and White House are burned during the War of 1812, while senior officials fled to Virginia. First Lady Dolly Madison stayed behind to save valuables and make snack cakes. No, I wrote that part. She saved valuables from the White House, then known as the President's House. So it wasn't the White House then. Did you know that? It wasn't always called the White House?
I thought it was like the President's Mansion.
It's just called the President's House, according to this. The Library of Congress was housed in the north wing of the Capitol building at the time, and most of its 3,000 books were destroyed.
Whew.
Yeah. I have a joke that I worked on for years, and it was, there's an old African proverb that says, every time an old person dies, it's like a library burned down.
Yeah.
But my family really never set foot in libraries. So when one of my older relatives dies, it's like a Dollar Tree is demolished. But, okay.
That's
we'll,
good.
We'll keep working.
That's good.
What else we got? Oh, Mount Vesuvius buries Pompeii in volcanic ash and magma. The Italian volcano Mount Vesuvius erupts, burying Pompeii and Herculaneum. Didn't know that that was... Oh, you always hear Pompeii. You don't hear a lot about Herculaneum.
Isn't that something that Superman...
He's that and kryptonite.
Okay.
No, still active. I didn't know that. You know, Vesuvius is still active, an active volcano. It is regarded as one of the most dangerous volcanoes in the world due to the 3 million people living nearby. So people are still living near it.
Wow.
It's active volcano. Do you read history?
Oh my goodness. This is why we do this segment.
This is why we do the podcast. Get out of Pompeii.
This is exactly... I mean, this is specifically...
Is it still Pompeii? It doesn't say.
Okay.
It doesn't Pompeii. Anyway, okay. Last one, John. This week, hang on, I had it. The waffle iron was patented by Cornelius Swartwout.
Swartwout.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He patented the first U.S. waffle iron. I get the first U.S. waffle. So maybe there were other.
Oh.
Right? The knockoff of the Denmark.
The French company Brute waffle irons.
Yeah. Waffle irons originated in the Netherlands in the 1300s and were typically two-hinged iron plates designed to be held over a hearth fire for baking. Many would also imprint elaborate patterns on the waffles, such as a coat of arms, landscapes, and religious symbols. So...
So
that's weird. It's weird to have like a religious symbol on your waffle.
Right.
Although, wasn't there a woman who like saw the Mother Mary in her pancake or something?
Yeah.
So that may, you know.
Maybe
that's her waffle iron.
Listen, the Lord works in mysterious ways.
He does.
As the good word says. It doesn't say that.
But no, it doesn't say that.
Word for word, it doesn't.
Swartwout's patent was an improvement in waffle irons, quote. That's what it was for. Which consisted of a novel handle for opening, closing, and turning a stovetop waffle iron. So he's like, hey, good idea so far.
What about
a handle on this?
No,
and they're like, you're a genius.
Right.
Probably is. August 24th is celebrated in the U.S. as National Waffle Day because of that. So it's the day that he patented it.
We should have ordered waffles this morning.
I didn't know.
No.
I read this today, though, and we'll leave on this, is that... Today, for whatever reason, it's one of these random facts, I guess, in my news that I get. And it was that today is the most called in sick day of the year.
Huh.
And it really doesn't. I couldn't figure out what the rhyme or reason was it.
I figured that would have been during March Madness.
Right. March Madness or day after Super Bowl.
Right. Or the day before.
Any day where you think people are going to be like hungover, like people wouldn't work New Year's Day. So that wouldn't be one. But like if you think people are going to have been partying or you want to take time off to watch a game the next day, like March Madness is a big one. People start like faking their dry cough and I don't know. They're filling out their bracket.
Yeah.
They're coughing so the next cubicle can hear them. Dave didn't sound good yesterday.
Yeah.
But today, whatever it is, August 24th is... Which is, as we record this, August 24th, like, this is the day that the most Americans... It said 0.9% of Americans call in August 24th.
Wow, we really missed it. There's a lot of stuff going around school right now.
Yeah.
And there's a big... Like, I know lots of people with COVID right now. But there's, like, that summer cold thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
summer cold makes me feel croupy. Coughing up the crud in my. I don't know. I can't remember. But no, that's no good. The croup. Remember the croup?
Yeah.
Did you have the or the crud? The creeping crud.
The croup.
The crud was a diagnosis.
Croup is a thing.
When
too.
I grew up, you'd go to the doctor and he would say to you,
"You got the crud."
You got the crud, and you'd be like, "Oh no, it's what killed."
But the croup's a real thing among little children. It's very dangerous.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, is it spelled like O-U-P? It's not croup like...
Yeah, you know me. I don't know. M-C-R-U-P.
No.
I don't know.
I think croup is C-R...
There's no way.
Maybe I'm...
Is it O-O-P? Oh, my wife. This is one of those days going to be very painful for her to listen.
She's cringing.
What?
She's got the creep and cringe.
Croup. Symptoms, C-R-O-U-P.
See? I don't know why. I saw it somewhere, probably, and I locked that away so I can win Trivial Pursuit one day.
Well, and we always...
When it says spell croup.
Yeah, it's like...
And I can
you
deliver.
You just assume it's going to have some weird spelling because it's medical.
Like an E on the end.
Yeah.
Like your Civic hatchback. It's a croup.
When I get a new med that's like one of the...
Yeah.
You know, for my doctor for something.
Yes.
And I go in, and I'm trying to pronounce it, mm-hmm. and they pronounce it back to me like I should have known how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean... atorvastatin. And you're like,
I don't like that.
I don't
like that at
just
all.
Just because you sit here in a world where y'all make up words,
mm-hmm.
like someone made up this word.
Right.
So there's no reason I should know how to say it, ma'am. And then I'm, thank you, doctor, for the prescription. So,
yeah.
I choose weird things to rail against. You know what I'm saying?
You really do.
It's
you need to let it go.
All the injustice in the world, and that's what I go after. So.
Yeah.
But
there's a lot of justice in the world, too. Why don't you focus on that?
Wow, someone should report on that, because maybe we need some positive news.
We really do. We need more of that. But nobody would watch, because now we're conditioned to, we crave the things to be mad at, right? Don't you think?
I crave it. That's why I do this podcast with you every week.
No, this podcast, we're a light in a dark place.
All right, yes.
A city on a hill. A digital hill.
It's a small city. It's more like a township.
A digital underground. No, that was a leather rap group.
We're like... an incorporated community.
A township.
Yeah.
We have one red light.
Right. No gas stations.
No gas stations.
Through, you're not going to get a Hardee's or anything.
There's not a Quick Trip.
A Dollar Tree.
Okay.
But not.
But it burned down.
You really can, though, peruse the road through past episodes.
Go through our township at talkaboutthatpodcast.com. You can see over 270 archived episodes for your listening enjoyment. And you can click on the website there. If you want to support the show, we'd love to have you do that. You can get ad-free content that way. Go to johndriver.com, find out about John's newest books. johnnyw.com, johnnyw, is where all my tour dates and clips are posted. And what else can I tell you? Get out there, man. It's going to be a fun... The rest of this year is going to be a blast. There's so many cool events. And I'm so excited. I'm going to like 40 cities before the end of the year. Doing shows. I'm excited. So come out and say hey.
Yeah. A lot of new material, too.
Yeah. Tons of new stuff. We're very excited.
Yeah. Guys, it really means a lot that you listen every week. Seriously. So we appreciate it. We'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
Hey there, it's Nicole Eunice from the How to Study the Bible podcast, and I'd love to invite you to join us as we weekly discover a passage of God's Word together. From beginning to end, from principles to practicals, we are here to make sure that God's Word is powerful and relevant to your life. If that sounds like something you're looking for, I would love to invite you to subscribe. You can go to lifeaudio.com and search How to Study the Bible, and we'll see you there.